Welcome to the International Medical Secrets Podcast. On this podcast, you will hear the stories of medical professionals from around the globe and learn trends and insights that are happening in the medical field. Please subscribe to the podcast to stay up to date on the latest episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Medical Secrets Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Dennis, where you learn trends and insights in the medical field. And we have a special guest with us today. We have Dr. Rafael Lugo. Dr. Rafael Lugo has over 20 years of surgery experience, and it's something very unique in what he does related to surgery. He actually uses robots to help with the surgery. In addition to that, he's an active entrepreneur, and he has some up-and-coming startups that you want to keep an eye out for. But I don't want to take Dr. Rafael Lugo's thunder. Dr. Lugo, could you say a little bit about yourself?
Well, yeah, thank you, Gary, for having me. It's a pleasure. And I have been a surgeon for 20 years plus, like you said, although I decided to be a surgeon when I was in fourth grade. That was a passion of mine. I don't know where it came from. My father is an attorney. All my family are attorneys, but I decided to be a surgeon. I think it rooted in the desire to help people. It's tremendous gratification when you're a surgeon to be able to fix problems that people have. So I did that, and I have been in every scenario in medical practice. I have been employed for a short time. I was in a big group, and then I'm solo. I do better solo because you have a lot of flexibility in what you do. And I like other things too. I mean, I like to innovate. I like to change. So it's hard when you're in a constrained walls of a group. And I have been in Houston for the last 20 years. I started in Louisiana. I trained in a place called Optional Hospital. And after 5 years there, I relocated to Houston. And this has been home since then. Started in the Clear Lake area. And then I slowly moved to the Woodlands where I now reside. Currently, I have an office in the Woodlands and I have an office in Austin. Why Austin? Well, my kids go to college and I'm starting to spend more and more time there. So I decided to, why not make some money while I'm there? And it's working very nice because I divide my time almost equally.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I was reading your profile and it seems like everyone in the city of Houston knows about you. I was looking at some of the reviews and some things that were said about you, and You're very well known in the medical field. What I'm kind of a technology enthusiast myself. So when I saw that you use robotics during your surgeries, that intrigued me because I was thinking I don't know anything really about surgery. I don't know what it takes to perform a surgery or anything like that. But I imagine that there's to allow technology to do part of the work. Takes some trust in technology, because I mean, sometimes just getting this Zoom video going, it's difficult for me. So, would you mind going into a little detail of like how are these robots used during the surgery?
Sure. And you know what? One day, if you want, in another podcast, we could I can have a live video show what the robot looks like, or I can always videotape it before and show you what it does and what happens. So. This is the evolution. You know, surgery started like the old times, you know, big incision in the middle, and over time it has evolved into a minimally invasive world. First was laparoscopic, which people call laser. It's no laser, it's just laparoscope cameras. And we started doing small incisions. And that brought a whole new range of problems, you know, where you are limited on the space, the visibility, and the ability to stitch because you lost your wrist. The ability to turn the hand. And, you know, we dealt with it for many years. And several years ago, more than several years ago, I remember the first time I saw the robot was in 1999. And at that time, I looked at it and I said, there's no way ever anybody's going to like that. Well, I was so wrong. And I tried to be always looking in the future, but at that time, it was such a different thing. So it's not like people imagine this robot, like in the movies, like an android walking in the room and operating. It's pretty much a device, it's a tool that you now hold the instruments with the tool, have incredible 4K visibility, very augmented, very clear, and also have these four steady hands. It's like now I have four hands that can help me. So it makes my ability to operate in a very small space or tough cases or where you need very much a zoom, looking like a almost microscope type of visibility where you can really aim at the location of the operation and perform an amazing, beautiful, detailed operation, minimizing complications. And it has expanded the realm of possibilities for surgeons incredibly. And it's just the beginning.
You caught my attention there. You were talking about what it is and what it's not. And you mentioned that it's not like a robot walks into the room and performs the surgery, or, you know, but it is an initial set of hands that helps you. Now, right now, it seems like technology every year, technology like doubles in innovativeness, and there's just consistent changes in innovations around technology where it's taking big leaps. It seems like over the past few years. And I know there's a lot of talk around artificial intelligence and robotics, of course. Do you see surgery moving in that direction down the road, where a robot walks into an operating room and does the surgery and leaves? Or,
well, you know, I think there may be certain applications. And again, I may be speaking too early on these things. And, you know, I may not know the capabilities of AI from the standpoint of robotic surgery. I don't see in the foreseeable future, like as long as I'm alive, some robot just coming in and doing the surgery, because human beings are like a machine, like a car. A car is, you know, when you have a carburetor or I'm dating myself now, the fuel injectors or the brakes, they're in the same position. They're pretty much the same every single time. In a human being, things are not like that. So you require an extra level of assessment to be able to perform things. And also, robots don't have the sense of pain. I mean, that's one thing you lose in the robot. When I'm in the robot console, you sit in a console and you maneuver with these arms, I can't feel how strong I'm pulling on things. You have to really use a visual cue. So I can imagine a machine with tremendous AI may know what to do, but may not understand. It'd be hard to gauge that force. So I think the human eye is going to always have to be at some point or somehow monitoring this. It may be where, yes, everything happens through a machine, but once you get to the part of the operation, I think it's going to be hard to integrate that. Now, in medicine, artificial intelligence is going to definitely help liberate doctors from a lot of the tedious tasks that we do, you know, paperwork and entering information and data. And there's so much of that we spend so much time, that I think where the AI is going to shine is going to be in that arena. Also, educating patients and being able to engage patients in their own care, because ultimately healthcare, the quality is going to be depending on how good patients take care of themselves and follow the advice. And sometimes there's so much information out there, people do not know what to believe. And as doctors, we have to direct them to the right location. And that may be one of the areas where AI will shine, for sure.
That's very interesting. It sounds like the medical field is it's shifting to a certain degree with AI, but obviously there's not going to be a robot walking in and doing the work anytime soon. But are there any... I know a lot of time, you know, technology or other forms of innovation, they're supposed to be solving problems, right? Is there anything in the operating room or during surgery that you think, wow, if this one thing would be fixed, it would make my life completely a lot easier, more efficient? Or is there anything that's just a big, you know, red flag that something needs to be fixed in this area?
There are many things, you know, and that's where the entrepreneurship and medicine comes, and where, you know, you have to always be fixing problems. This is a great time in medicine to be involved, because technology finally is marrying medicine. So problems in the OR, they're not problems that are not, dangerous. There are problems that basically make our life difficult. For example, counting instruments, all of these things are traditional and archaic, but they have to be done, because you don't want to leave an instrument inside. What about a machine that will count the instruments for you and keep an eye through AI, through facial recognition or instrument recognition, cameras in the OR, sensors? That's something that will help. Also, maintaining inventory. Still these days, believe it or not, sometimes the operating room does not know that they have one left mesh and you're going to do a hernia. They have to scramble to try to get it. These are little operational issues, logistic issues that I think AI and computer technology, they embrace and sit down and work together. It can make hospitals much more efficient. I don't know where the disconnect is, but I think it's because finally in the last decade is where we've seen technology really coming into healthcare, or healthcare embracing technology. And there's a little bit of a disconnect where you see the technical guys trying to make things that solve problems based on very little information. When you have guys like me that have been in practice 20 years and I look at the stuff that they develop and I say, why? This, you know, they need to get more input from the medical community. And that's how these companies are going to succeed. Because ultimately, if you give me a piece of the technology and it doesn't solve my problem but increases my burden, I'm not going to use it. And that's where I think this marriage is coming together slowly. And, you know, I think there's some companies that are seeing it and they are basically embracing it. And those are the ones that are succeeding. Other problems that we have, of course, are problems of, you know, the information. Right now, the information is fragmented. St. Luke's Hospital, Methodist Hospital, Memorial Hospital, at my office, we don't have EMRs. They don't talk. They're starting to. So a patient goes to one place, we don't know what happened in the other one. That's a major thing that it sounds like a lot of heads are being put together to fix it. And I think that's going to be very important.
That's very interesting. And I appreciate you touching on the entrepreneurship side, because obviously you're an entrepreneur yourself in addition to being a surgeon. And I have a consulting firm. It's Unbiased Data. And what we do is we help international medical manufacturing companies find clients in the U.S. because there's language barriers, there's cultural barriers, there's locational barriers. And a lot of times people don't realize there's biases associated with those things. So we try to help them overcome that. But with that being said, we're pretty active dealing with medical products. But as an entrepreneur, when you think about it, it seems overwhelming, because you have government regulations, you have the healthcare system or the hospital system that you have to figure out how to navigate. Even if you have a product that solves a problem, you got to figure out where do you start? And do you have any tips for, let's say there's a genius out there right now that has the perfect idea to solve a problem related to surgery or some other medical procedure. What are some of the tips you have to help them navigate the complexity of the system and the government and all that?
You are 100, you know, right on it, because I'm involved in certain companies and I have seen the problem. You know, hospitals have a very long process. You know, there's so much red tape. My advice is, you know, being in the medical profession and being part of a hospital, I have kind of a backdoor entrance sometimes to talk to the higher level individuals that are the ones that make decisions. But even then, those people are not the final say. There's a lot of people above them or lateral to them or the same level that have to get together. Hospitals, I always joke, because hospitals, to move a chair from one room to the other, they have 20 meetings. They have a meeting to decide when they're going to have a meeting to move that chair. And who's going to move it? I mean, it's ridiculous. And then it takes a month to move that chair. So I have noticed that hospitals pay attention when they know they're going to improve the care, decrease complications, or make more money. When they hear these things, they start then looking, at least they look your way. And then you present, and sometimes you present to a bunch of people. 3 months go by. And somebody calls you and they want another presentation. And, you know, it's a long process. It's not like other industries where you go and they look at something, they like it, it's decided, and it's done. This is a lot slower. And it's because hospitals are regulated so badly that they have to be careful what they implement. They have to make sure this is not going to be dangerous for the patient. They have to make sure that all the companies are going to be okay with it. All the government regulations, all the government agencies. It's a long process. But the best thing is, practically, if you know somebody inside the hospital, be a doctor, be a nurse, you can start a process like that. If you go cold and make a cold call, they're going to hang up because they get millions of those calls. So it has to be almost like through the medical world to start a process. And if you can help doctors, believe me, you're going to have quickly. That's how reps do it for equipment. They come to my office, they say, hey, will you use this? And I say no or yes. And if I like it, then I'm sure they go to 20 other guys. Then I go to the hospital. And then I say, hey, I want to use this in the OR. And there the ball starts rolling. That's for equipment. Software and other stuff is a little harder because they already have their own EMRs. But there's still ways to do that.
Now, before you can even approach the hospital, you have to get government approval as well to sell a medical product. Is that right? Or?
Well, if it's a medical, yes. FDA, it depends what it's going to be doing for the patient. At what level, but yeah, there are certain regulations that will require that type of thing. Software, I haven't seen that necessarily, as long as you're not giving advice to the patient that could be misconstrued, you know. But other than that, if it's something the patient is going to get educated, or the patient is going to get just information from their own care without any particular direct advice, unless the doctor is controlling it, I don't think there's a lot of stuff. Now, equipment, yes. Operating room tools, yes, of course.
Now, for equipment, the FDA sounds like the place to start. They need to talk to a representative with the FDA, and they'll walk them through that process.
So. Correct. Once you get that approved, everybody else in the, you know, in the United, all the other hospitals open their arms and are willing to listen. If you don't have that, they're not going to take it.
And then the hospitals, it sounds like if, as long as you have a connection there and the product or service or whatever it is, if the hospital truly sees the value in it, that it's going to help them save money, save lives, make their processes easier, then they're more likely to expedite that process and not have, you know, hundreds of meetings about meetings.
It's correct. You know, And that makes sometimes it shortcuts a lot. If you go straight to administration, like I said, I've seen many people fail. And they're always looking for the doctor, the angle. Let's say you have something that works with cardiologists or hearts, or you know, then you go to the cardiologist. If you have something with surgery, find a surgeon. Try to find a niche. Who uses this the most? And go to that person, sell it to them. They'll be happy to then go be your voice in the hospital, and they'll have more power, be able to listen and get you through a lot of red tape very quick.
Very good. That's very good insights and tips for those that are trying to be an entrepreneur in the medical field. And I appreciate you sharing that. Now, lastly, you're involved in some companies, some startup companies yourself, and you have some big things that are coming up. Do you mind sharing some information on some of those companies so people can keep an eye out for them?
Sure. Well, you know, I have a couple of, I'm sitting some of the boards in some companies, and some of those are not, you know, open to talk because they worry about competition. But there's one particularly that is already launched and is gaining a lot of momentum as time goes by. It's called Genius Video. And geniusvideo.com is the website. Basically, is a video to text platform. And you'll be surprised. You may say, video to text, how is that new? Well, the way it's being implemented is using AI and using a lot of the information, the medical records, to engage patients in their own care and also educate them. Just an example, for me as a surgeon, I get routine calls you can imagine. I can spend an hour with a patient, explain everything before surgery, and they forget. Well, they will get a video that summarizes what I told them in that visit by myself, or I can hire somebody to do it. The company has those resources. And it's automatic. I don't have to do anything. The moment I see the patient and finish the entering in the electronic medical records, that triggers a series of videos based on their condition that will educate them and guide them through the process before surgery, after surgery, and weeks later, what to expect, what to do. And that's a time saver for the doctor because I don't have to be calling the patient or having my nurse call. Also, I direct them to the information I want them to have, not let them go to Google and get misinformed. Mm-hmm. So it's a tremendous application that will be using hospitals, doctor's offices, and actually the company is looking at other verticals because other industries can use it for marketing, instruction, directions, I mean, the sky's the limit. But I'm working on the healthcare component as a consultant, and I'm using it myself. And I tell you why, it is unbelievable. And I think it's going to be a very, very big deal as this is embraced.
It sounds like, and I can only imagine somebody's getting prepared for a surgery, that stressful experience, knowing that their health is at risk, and at the same time, there's not. I mean, if you look at supply versus demand, there's not. I'm sure there's a low demand of or a high demand of surgeons and low supply available. So having these videos can obviously help save time and make your life more manageable, I would think, from a professional standpoint, and then also give peace of mind to the people that are anticipating an upcoming surgery. Is that
yeah, right? Yeah. For example, let's say you're going to have gallbladder surgery tomorrow, and you don't know what to do. You saw me, but you forgot. So you Google, what do I do the night before, or let me see if I find something. We give people papers, they throw it away. We send emails, people don't open the emails. Text, people open, the open rate email in texting is so high. So you leave my office, and that day, about 2 hours later, you get a video that says, hi, I'm Dr. Lugo, and you just saw me for your gallbladder problem, and we're going to plan surgery, and this is what you need to do the night before, blah, blah, blah. Then the night before, I reinforce that with another video. Then after surgery, even though I give instructions and they're in my website, people forget, they get another video that says, hi, this is Dr. Lugo, your surgery went well. This is what you need to look for, redness, whatever I normally tell people, how to care for the wound, what to expect. And, you know, I add an extra video 4 weeks later to make sure they have no questions and remind them that I'm here to help and whatever message I want to give. The beauty is that I record this before, and then these videos are saved. And when I enter certain codes in the electronic medical record, which is done automatically as I bill or finish my notes for the day, it recognizes those words and knows that that patient needs to be entering this series. So yeah, it saves tremendous time. And also, like I said, it keeps people engaged. This can be used in so many areas like weight loss, fitness, you know, and some of the doctors we're talking to that are trying to, you know, do the pilots, they are in that areas, heart, you know, high blood pressure, they need a lot of guidance and diabetes. And that's, we're seeing the results, and we're seeing the open rates are incredible, unbelievable. Imagine you get a video that says, this is a video from your doctor, you're going to open it, you're going to look at that. And it's beautiful. It's an amazing company, and I think it's going to do very well.
And Dr. Lugo, and what was the name of the product one more time?
It's called Genius Video, like a, you know, Genius .com.
Genius Video. So when you have upcoming surgery, ask about that product. Look for it because obviously it's going to make your life a lot easier if you do have an upcoming surgery. Get the word out about it. It makes perfect sense.
And it's going to be compatible with all the electronic medical records. We're already, you know, looking at Epic, which is the big hospital electronic medical records, and a lot of the other doctor offices. So eventually, what we're hoping this is going to take and be used in every hospital. I think it's going to improve care in a different level, very, very nicely.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Lugo, I know you're extremely busy. I want to thank you again for making time for today's podcast and live stream. And for those of you that are listening, please subscribe to our podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts and most major platforms. Subscribe and stay up to date on more upcoming trends and insights in the healthcare field.